Here at Renewal by Andersen, we believe that a warm and cozy home starts with a warm and friendly consultation. Energy-efficient windows and doors, custom styles, and professional installation. Renewal by Andersen is here to help create your ideal space. A free, no-pressure Renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. Visit us online at iHeartMyWindows.com to schedule an in-home appointment. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The yogurt shop murders have been solved at long last. After 34 years, authorities have named Robert Eugene Brashears as the lone perpetrator in the murders of Jennifer and Sarah Harbinson, Eliza Thomas, Amy Ayers. And thanks to advanced DNA testing, ballistic forensics, and genealogy-led investigation, they got their guy. He's dead, but they got their guy. The press conference acknowledged not just the solve, but the systematic failures, the lives derailed by false confessions, and the emotional toll on the surviving families. We're going to go through that press conference today. It was taking place just yesterday, as of our recording, on the 29th. Of September of 2025. And a lot of reflection, 34 years of not having an answer to this. And then suddenly, oh, wow, we got it. And the pieces of evidence, I mean, they've been sitting there for quite some time. It just really took someone to take certain pieces and test them certain ways and match them against certain things. And boom, you got your guy. I think that's what's an interesting piece of this whole story is just how much of that information is sitting out there in filing cabinets and evidence lockers from decades and decades ago, and how many people are still incarcerated or dead for crimes maybe they did not commit, where real evidence is sitting out there. That's something that I think this... this case is making a lot of people wonder about. Todd Michaels, Stacey Cole, all with us today to go through all this. What's your thoughts as now, shortly after this documentary drop, suddenly another case solved? Amazing, huh?
Amazing what science can do, isn't it? You know, it's the DNA. I see a lot of people disputing, well, that DNA is junk science and things like that. But it's interesting if... Have you guys done any of the genetic analysis testing, 23andMe, Ancestry, any of that stuff?
I have.
You did? You really did?
Yeah. I did the kit a long time ago. Did you, Stacey?
I did. I did 23andMe. And it's interesting because when you look at it and you parse through the results, things start making sense. Like, I contacted some relatives that I maybe knew existed, but it put me in touch with them. We started comparing notes. You can sit there and say it's junk science, but a lot of it is pretty spot on.
Well, what's junk science about it? What do you mean people are saying it's junk science?
There's a lot of commentary out there. The Reddits, let's just talk about Reddit for a second. A lot of people saying, oh, this, it's not accurate. You know, this is all just, again, junk science. And I just don't think it is.
That's,
I think we've
junk
learned
thinking.
So much through DNA.
it's just people throwing stupid shit out of their mouths that mean nothing.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like it. It's junk.
And that's what it is. They probably found out that Dad, on his little business trip, had a little something going on, and now they've got a stepbrother.
Well, that's an interesting thing with the DNA technology is, and the IgG. I read some stat recently where even if you haven't taken these tests, there's like 97% of the population that's accounted for now in it. You don't need to have taken it. Like, your cousin takes it. Yes. And a couple others, and it all just kind of triangulates everything in different ways that can, you know, yep, pretty much lay out what genetics are. People don't like facts. People don't like learning something that, you know, that maybe grandma didn't want you to know, or your mom didn't want you to know, or whoever didn't want you to know. They can't hide from that shit anymore.
No, you can't. And what it did for me is it let me know where I was on the diabetic scale. And the diabetic scale is what I call it. Mm-hmm. But it showed me all of my relatives who do have diabetes, which is interesting, or at least a predisposition for it. And it made me start paying attention, and I changed my diet. I went and got myself checked and went, whoa, there's some stuff happening here. And I reeled it in. Had I not done that test, I probably would have maybe been 2 or 3 years down the road finding out some things. So for me, it was a wake-up call because of how accurate it was. It told me, hey, girl, you're heading down a bad road. And it nailed it before my actual medical test really stepped in and did that. We didn't test for any of this stuff because I didn't fit the model yet. But I saw it in the 23andMe and thought, well, maybe I should look into this and get my A1C checked. Sure as shit, it was off the scale. Like, you need to do something. So it wasn't junk science to me.
I didn't know that that did that in the 23andMe, that it went into, like, biology of
There's
disease.
The health aspect.
The health aspect of it. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that in mind. I did Ancestry. This was a couple of years ago, so I have no idea what they're doing today. And it was more so you have X percentage from this portion of the world and X percentage from that portion of the world. And that's what it really lined out for me. And then it's always interesting when you start to see the genetic matches of this person is matching as X percent of, like, a cousin or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea who the person is.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away that thanks to 23andMe, Stacy's still with us because she changed and gave her the meat stick diet is what she went on. So I'm
just glad.
Yeah, me too. I'm thankful for
23andMe said eat meat sticks and hide knives around your house.
Which, by the way, Tony, just so you know, we figured out how many did you say you had? 5 or 6? And she's only got 4 plus
5.
1. Yeah, 4 in the around the apartment and 1 in your purse.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, if somebody decides to come in or, you know, accost me in my bathroom, my bedroom, my living room, kitchen, or if I have my purse on me, you better look out. I'm ready to roll.
Am I wrong? But aren't the stats on that, like, your odds of it getting used against you are pretty high if you have that, like, that readily available? Can
yes,
I add another layer of paranoia to this?
Remember, I've been training. I train with plastic knives and
true.
Battering sticks. So, yeah, I've been training. So, yes. The odds of it being used against you if you're not trained are pretty damn high, but I also know how to get at least one or two good cuts in and one giant stab. I mean, I've been practicing this for...
Before they get you, so you can get...
Shrek. So you can get away. The point is, get one really good jab in so you can get away.
Oh, okay.
It's all about training. Muscle memory. It does sound mm-hmm. crazy, but being a single woman living on a ground floor apartment... No, that's what I need to do to feel safe.
Doesn't sound crazy at all, Stacey.
Not
thank
at
you.
All.
I know. You guys are, like, making me think I sound nuts,
no,
but you know
don't.
What? I don't
six
have six
knives
foot.
In every a different room? That sounds normal. Yeah.
Ladies, chime in. Tell me I'm not nuts. Come on. Get in our comment section on YouTube and tell the boys how it is.
Get
if I'm
cuts
nuts,
in
I'll go
fine.
Seek help.
Yeah.
But you got to get 3 cuts. I mean, I'm all about the training, and I think that's great that you are getting the training on it. Otherwise,
me too, honestly.
Otherwise, it's not a great idea to have 6 knives in different locations around the house.
I don't believe anybody should have a weapon if they haven't trained with it.
I mean,
because
Cheryl
the
Crow
weapon
says,
will do you no good if it's turned on you.
So, did
but
you have
you
the
know
knife?
What you're doing?
Did you have the knives around the house before you had the training?
No.
Okay. Well, good. There you go.
No. No, just like steak knives and things. But no, I would never.
She did.
We She's all have steak it. Knives.
You are.
I don't, but that's okay.
Who doesn't have a steak knife, you guys?
Well, yes, but would you? Of course, we have steak knives. But did you have them strategically located around the house, not in the
no.
steak knife drawer?
No, I did not. They
okay,
are in
there's
the
difference.
Utensil drawer.
All right.
Okay.
So it's the only weapon I had. But I have okay. firearms, and I shoot them on a regular basis to make
okay.
sure that I'm competent.
Yeah,
proficient.
I agree. Yeah, if you're going to use any weapon, you should know how to use it.
Correct. And one yeah. of the beautiful things about the martial arts that I'm training in, it's called Kali. It's a Filipino mm-hmm. martial art. Anything can be used as a weapon. Even my purse strap, the way I carry it now, I string it across my body. So if somebody wants to come at me, what I do is I bring them in closer and put the strap around their neck and choke them.
When you're walking around Wausau Center Mall that no longer exists, are you just kind of sitting there like by the Auntie Anne's, theoretically, if it was still there,
the going, pretzel?
I got my purse. If that person gets the cheese dip and approaches me with it.
Always.
Use those lines as a pickup line, Stacey? You know, I can choke you with this purse strap, something
well,
like that.
Well, actually, a very good friend of mine is very well trained in jiu-jitsu and a couple of other martial arts. And we've, like, put each other in chokeholds. So, you know, we all have our kinks.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yes. Jeez. But come on, ladies, would you chime in here? I am not crazy. It goes back to the, would you choose the bear or the guy that can, you know, shows up in the woods? I would always choose the bear. I don't trust a lot of men.
Bear's pretty much a guaranteed death sentence. I think you may have some odds with the man. Statistically speaking.
Yeah, Stacey, you would because you've, you know, trained, right?
So. Yeah.
I don't know.
/stab. Have you ever seen, what was the one where the guy gets eaten by the bear? Grizzly bear. Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's different if you're a man, because when you go out in public, when you go to the store, when you're coming home at night, when you're walking from your garage to your, you know, front door. See, thank you. Someone just chimed in. We are always sizing up our environment.
And that's good. It's good to be aware.
But I don't know that men do that on a regular basis. If
I don't
I'm
think a lot of men
somewhere,
do.
I'm always looking around for that potential danger scenario. And I don't know that you guys do the same.
I do, but I'm paranoid.
And I never leave my house, so there's nothing to size up.
I don't do much of that either anymore either. So, no, I do. I mean, and that's, look, I think there's certainly healthy levels and there's unhealthy levels of anything. And being aware is good. There is an unhealthy level of being
correct.
That gets to paranoia and it gets to very unhealthy thinking. But being healthily aware and prepared is certainly a good thing. I've been like that since I was a kid. Talking last night on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's like everything goes back to Tony's childhood trauma at some point.
It plays a role.
It does. All of our trauma plays a role in everything. So, I mean, it plays a role in the way we think about things and how we interpret things and how we run things through our minds and all that. So, I can trace mine all the way back to childhood. And I can remember my mom working at the mall. And at that point in time in the 90s, there was a woman who was abducted named Lori Deppis. Do you remember this, Todd?
I absolutely.
Yep. And she also was our waitress at a restaurant called Scenario. Remember the Scenario?
Absolutely.
That we used to go to. I think we used to actually win gift certificates probably from you, on the radio.
Probably.
Not even kidding. I think we did. And my parents did. And so I knew this woman and then she's abducted and I don't think they've ever found her.
No, they haven't.
It's still like, I want to do a cold case piece on that story. Yeah. I want to dig into that story. I think that would be very, very fascinating.
I just want to say, Stacey, and please understand, I'm just giving you hell. I think it's great that you are prepared. I think it's great that you've learned all this stuff. But when somebody tells you, I've got 5 knives stashed around, it's just something to play a little fun with. So don't take offense to me giving you some hell about it.
Of course not. No, and I appreciate that because on the surface, it really does sound fucking crazy.
What does your therapist say about having 5 knives around the house?
Oh, she loves it. Loves it. Because it's empowerment. It's saying, and again, I would not have these in this place if I weren't trained to use them. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a black belt or anything, but I'm doing my best to climb the ladder here and learn new things so that God forbid something does happen. Mm-hmm. I can get in some really good swipes. Whereas anybody else might have that freeze where they're like, oh my God, somebody's assaulting me.
Yeah.
no, I'm not going to react that way because I have trained for that moment that I'm going to get some shots in where that person's going to be like, holy shit, this woman knows some stuff, and they might turn tail and run.
It makes sense. No, I mean,
don't
I think
know until you're in that scenario, but
you don't.
We yeah. train for that so that you don't freeze in that moment because people have not, you're not practicing being assaulted.
Yeah.
People don't know what that feels like. So you're terrified and your body freezes up. When you train for this, you've seen this scenario and you know how to react.
It's muscle memory.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the disclaimer on it. It's not just put a bunch of weapons around your house and suddenly it's all going to work out well. That's actually going to increase your odds of getting killed. But unless you know what you're doing with
correct.
Them, unless you are trained in them.
Barbara Miller just said difference. That she's got stuff in her purse, bedstand, top drawer, baseball bat at the front door, concealed knives. I imagine a lot of the women who are chiming in have a reason that they've done
sure.
this. You know, maybe there's something in our past where you've been attacked and you realize that's not going to happen to me again. I'm going to be ready next time.
But you have to be ready.
And trained.
And trained.
Yes.
And you can't just tell yourself you're ready. And that's the important thing of it. It's not just... this is here and now I'm safer. It's like having any weapons, like having a gun. I don't know how to use the gun. Well, then you're not safer because
not
the
safe.
Gun is there. You're
no.
actually more at risk of
correct.
You screwing this up and being used. And that's the part that so many miss. And that's the key point.
I'm a huge advocate for women taking self-defense. I think it's really important.
Oh, yeah.
And not just one class and go, okay, I'm good. Over and over, maybe go find a kickboxing class so that, you know, you can get in some cardio, meet some great women, that kind of thing. But learn how to just plant one really ginormous kick on somebody because that kick might give you enough time to get away.
Well, I mean, could you imagine if like in our school systems, if we had, if we put an emphasis on that sort of training for young women as we do on football and everything. And I'm not knocking football as I say it very disparagingly.
Right.
But if we put some emphasis on actual life skills that people can use beyond the age of 18 for 99.99999% of the population, oh my gosh, how much more prepared would these people be for the world? Why would we ever want to prepare our high school students for becoming real life adults? What an idea. But if we actually did train them, I mean, not only in that, not only just in self-defense, but let's get a little more in depth and just about being emotionally mature, about understanding psychology, about understanding other human beings and being secure in ourselves. And we put some emphasis on our brains and that sort of stuff. The things that actually matter in life, not just getting a ball in a hole.
Correct.
I don't know. Maybe we'd be a little bit better. But that teaches teamwork. Sure, it does. But you know what? This teaches how to fucking interact with human beings.
It does. And it also teaches self-confidence. And I think that's where a lot of our society has fallen down. People don't feel confident. So what they're doing is they're going into these dark places and finding camaraderie where they didn't really need to go.
Yeah.
Maybe if you felt better about yourself when you looked in the mirror and felt like, I can do whatever I want to do and be confident in my life and go do things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't need to join a cult.
Well, I'm a big proponent of cults. I think it's a good idea.
You know you are.
Oh my gosh.
I think, you know, everyone should find a cult that they like. And incidentally, I'm starting one. So if you'd like to join a cult.
Todd, can you mute his mic at all?
Well, I'm thinking between him talking about how great cults are and me giving you hell for defending yourself, everybody's going to hate us at the end of this podcast. So
we're getting a lot of great comments
absolutely.
From what I'm seeing.
Yes.
So my ladies have come forward and been
they
like,
have.
Yep, this is why.
Stacey's got
I hear
a
you.
Crew. Yep.
It's a trauma response, though,
yes.
in a lot of ways. It is playing defense. I mean, you can look at it as offense, but you're really, at the end of the day, you're playing defense. And it's not like you have a choice in the matter. This is the world that we live in. Just because, you know, I say it'd be lovely if we could maybe go to the offense and But that's a systematic change. That's where an institution needs to change the way that we raise children and the way that we educate people. And until that changes, everybody's playing defense. And that seems to be where we found our happy spot, quote unquote. But really, at the end of the day, you just keep playing more and more defense if we're never going to actually look at why we're playing defense and maybe start an offense to begin with. And then we don't have to defend ourselves against unhealthy, emotionally unregulated people that have very poor problem solving skills.
Well, and we focus on a lot of those people here. A lot of our cases.
We wouldn't have a show without it.
The worst case scenario.
So back all this up. We don't want people
okay,
to be well.
Fuck because, that. Yeah. Don't go for emotional intelligence. Just instantly react to shit and encourage more people to have six knives around their homes and constantly living in fear. No, I mean, obviously we don't want that, but it's It is a societal shift, and I get it. And so, look, I'm giving you shit too, but I understand where you're coming from. I mean, going back to my story of back then, my mom had to leave the she worked at the JCPenney in the catalog section. Remember when there was a catalog section at Penny's?
Yep.
And she would be there late at night, and then she'd walk out to her car, you know, and often by herself in the dark parking lot, 9-10 o'clock at night. And it scared the living shit out of me. And my mom was a fairly paranoid person too, a fairly anxious person. So it didn't like really not play into it because I wasn't necessarily sheltered from these news stories, and I'm fine with that. I mean, look, it's worked out fine, right?
for all of us.
Yes, but I was hyper aware of the darkness of society, I think, at a younger age. And look, I mean, good or bad, it is what it is. I think young people need to be more aware. Maybe not to an extreme. There's certainly, again, there's balance to all this. There's extreme and then there's like oblivious. I feel like we're either in utter oblivious land or you're hiding six knives around your house. And there's not, we need more of the middle to be healthy. And we don't have that. So, I mean, I was paranoid as shit. My anxiety was through the roof every single night that she would be coming home and, you know, is she home safe and all that. I'm an only child. I mean, and my dad is the most passive person in the world. It's fine. What are you worried about? Stop worrying. Stop worrying. It's fine. You know, and I wish I could adopt that at some days of my life. And she was the opposite. So, That totally screwed with me. Then there was another girl that disappeared that same summer, I think. She was out riding her bike in the country, like where I like to go ride my bike in the country. And I forgot what her name was. Do you remember this story?
I don't remember that one, no.
It was like right around the same time.
Right.
But there was a lot. There was a lot of people disappearing in our area right at that moment. And it was traumatizing. It was. I mean, it was not that I knew these people greatly by any means. I knew the one a little bit, but not much. But it was like, oh shit, this stuff really happens. And so that has always made me probably more aware than most men, I guess. I don't walk into any situation thinking, I'm a guy, I have a penis, I will win. You know, I don't. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that are far stronger and, you know how to use violence far more than I do because I've never been in a fight in my life physically. So, but it does make you more aware of your surroundings. When I'm in a theater, I'm always looking where the exits are going to be. In a crowd, I'm always looking. I'm always hyper aware. Good, bad, I don't know. At this day and age, I think it's probably not a bad thing. Maybe it was a little over the top years earlier. I don't know so much today.
I you know, if you're paying attention to the news, if you're paying attention to the school shootings, the mall shootings, the theater shootings at, you know, whatever, because they're all over now.
Yeah.
Grocery store. It's hard not to walk into those places and look around. If you see somebody who's acting strangely, it brings to mind, are they going to do something? Whereas before it was like, oh, look, that's just a weirdo. Well, now we wonder what's under their coat. What, you know, why are they looking at me funny? It just, our pattern of thought has changed based on what we've seen.
And it doesn't help when you're dismissed for having concern. And that's something I've seen. When I was in Branson several years ago, last time I was at the movie theater there, went in to see something, sat down in the back row because I wanted to make out with who I was with, you know, and just get out. No, I'm kidding.
You have to go to the back row.
I like sitting in the back row of movie theaters. I do. It's just better center back. You get a nice, see the screen. It's good. Anyway, just sitting back there. And like about 20 minutes into the movie, some guy comes in there, super baggy clothes, sits down. It's like, it was kind of past the point where someone's getting in late for the movie. It's like, why are you coming into this movie at this point? You've missed like at least a quarter of it. Sits down. He's acting really fidgety, really suspicious. You can't tell what the fuck's underneath this guy's giant hoodie and whatever he has on. And all I'm thinking is this thing's going to get shot up. And he's like, looks like he's kind of casing the joint the way he's looking around. I don't know. There's a lot of meth around Branson. Maybe at the end of the day, that's what it was. The theater did not get shot up. But I did walk out of there and walked over to the manager and said, I don't know what, there's a guy that just walked in the movie late. This is weird. I feel very uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on. He's acting kind of odd. I mean, I don't know what to do, but I'm letting you know. Oh, it's fine. Just came into the movie late. I said, but he's acting weird. He's moving in ways that are not normal for someone just watching a movie. Yeah, it's fine. Just go back, watch. Just like literally totally dismiss the whole fucking, not even like, oh, let me get security and let me, or like, let's have, just have somebody go in and have your security person watch. Have the security person just observe from afar. Just something.
Do they have security?
They did. There was actually security on prem. The off duty officers, I think, they rented them to come in and do it. But no, they were too busy, you know, over at the kettle corn stand at the front of the building. You know, don't want to disturb that. And there's also the image too of, well, we don't want to, you know, portray that this could be going on in our community. Yeah, well, you might need to before something horrible happens. I was so taken aback at just how dismissed I was at that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't overreacting. I was just trying to see something, say something. And nothing was done. And I left. I never watched the rest of the movie. I just got the hell out of there. Left a really shitty Yelp review. And
I'm sorry that you weren't taken seriously. I mean, that's really sad because you were being a good citizen. And, yeah. And who knows? Maybe he wasn't up to anything. But we don't know that.
There's so much drug use in that area and in the sticks right outside. And it's such a depressed town. I mean, like Branson, you go in summer and yeah, there's fun, nice aspects of it. But there's a quarter of the year where there's nobody coming and going and there's no employment. And literally half of those motels people call home. And there's rampant drug use everywhere. It was like literally scary, like walking into the Taco Bell at some point, like shortly thereafter, that was the theater was the last straw for me. Cause it felt like any place I was going, almost any restaurant, any place, there was people that were so methed out. It was like The Walking Dead.
Ew.
And it was, and I had two little girls and it was just like, this is just, I'm good. And then even going to like the local district and because they were in public schools and then going to some of those events too, it was like, shit, it's like so many of these parents are all methed out too. And it was just, it was enough for me to say we're moving and then got the hell out of there. Not a place I would live ever again.
Yuck.
But again, just kind of scary. And again, see something, say something, being aware is half the battle. But again, if you know, the zombies are overwhelming, you're not going to win that battle. So it was kind of spooky. So anyway, there we go. Well, I'm glad we've established the keeping of knives
with training. Do not have them if you don't know how to use them. But I've seen a lot of comments in our section. Yeah. A lot of women saying, yeah, right on. That's exactly what I do. So
yeah.
Sorry, guys, you're outnumbered.
Well, I think if more predators were aware of this, maybe there'd be less people doing shit. Although predators don't seem to ever get held back by possible repercussions. That's the problem with that. It's just, yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.